Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the political cesspool. It's Saturday, August 1st, 2009. James Edwards and Bill Rowland here with you by our lonesomes for the first 2 hours of tonight's broadcast. You are now officially in the second hour of tonight's live installment of our award-winning show, and we've got a lot to talk about. A quick rundown of the announcements for the evening. Our broadcast archive for Liberty News Radio, the shows we've produced since being here with Liberty News, are now available free of charge at our website and also at libertynewsradio.com. That's something we're very excited about. So no excuse now for ever missing a broadcast. Go to libertynewsradio.com or thepoliticalcesspool.org and now access all of our shows from 2005 all the way through tonight. Free of charge, on demand, 24 hours a day. Liberty News Radio, what a great network and a great growing network. We're so excited about the work that Sam and Mike and the rest of the team are doing up there, and happy to be a part of it. They've got the Liberty News Wire now. You can now tune in if you don't have a phone. Excuse me, if you don't have a computer, internet connection, you don't live in one of the cities that carries our show on AM, FM radio, you can tune in on your phone now, live, just calling up on the phone. That's the Liberty News Wire. Go to our website for more information about that. Bill, I did see one more thing. I was emailed, actually, something today that caught me by surprise, but it was a pleasant surprise for a change. A fan of the show has set up a Facebook sort of fan page for the Political Cesspool, so fans of the Political Cesspool can go and join up and talk to one another. And so we now have a Facebook presence, Bill, and I'm probably the only 20-something American in the country that has never had a MySpace or Facebook account, so I really don't know how it works, but apparently it's good stuff. So the Political Cesspool, now in addition to our internet headquarters, on Facebook. And Bill, I know you do Facebook.
Well, not really. Nobody seems to care what I do, so I don't really, I sort of back away. I don't really do that.
Well, you know Facebook, though, right? I mean, you've got teenage kids. You know what Facebook is, which is a little bit more than me.
we're a little bit behind the curve on that, aren't we, James?
I guess so. But anyway, those are the announcements for the top of the second hour. Tom Ball, author of a brand new book, going to be on during the third hour. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be the highlight of tonight's broadcast. Bill, right before we went to break at the last hour, we were talking about this church in D.C. that welcomed the, I guess, the most radical segments of the transgendered and homosexual community. I wonder what they actually preach in this church. What parts of the Bible could they actually read from that wouldn't be offensive to them, or do they even have Bibles per se?
Well, I doubt that the Bible is anything more than a decoration on the altar. I doubt very seriously that they take the scriptures with more than a grain of salt. Of course, the only passage that really matters to queer churches and the freak churches is that says, you know, we should all love each other, or it's all about love, which is always qualified in the Bible. There's no absolute, you know, Jesus so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, etc., etc., but not that, you know, that meant that immediately that everybody is saved. And, of course, these people who attend the freak churches just concentrate on, well, Jesus loves us, so we can do anything we want. You know, we're not under obligation because Jesus loves us. Well, that's what they think. Jesus uses the word hate quite a bit in the Bible too, and they should look under the scriptures where Jesus talks about what he hates and what God hates. And in that the case, I don't think they're going to feel very cozy with their lifestyle and their view of perversion with regards to the scriptures.
Well, it goes without saying that if Jesus Christ descended from heaven today, he would certainly be on the hate watch list of the SPLC and the ADL, and probably persecuted by his own church for starters. But speaking of the new Messiah, moving on to today's contemporary version of Jesus, Barack Obama, Bill, we got to talk for a second here about the man, this What a stunt. The beer summit. The beer summit. Now, my first gut reaction to this was, how many hours did it take them to meticulously orchestrate this media production? This was, you saw them sitting at the table, and of course I'm talking about the police officer up there in Cambridge, Massachusetts, that arrested this this bigot, so-called Professor Gates. Gates was on one side. On his other side was Biden. Opposite corner was the police officer next to Obama. So you had a black and a white and a black and a white, and they were sitting here talking. Now, out of all the places that they could have had this little conversation, and first of all, the fact that this guy even got arrested, to me, is the biggest non-story in the world, even by the most exaggerated definition or criteria of what a news story should be. The fact that a black malcontent gets arrested for spouting off at cops, how this made even local news, much less national news, is beyond me. But nevertheless, nothing surprises me with the media. It's a story because they say it's a story and they have all the power. So anyway, it's a story. But, you know, and it was made to be a story, because here Obama could have had it inside the White House. He had to have it on the lawn so every camera in the world could see them sitting here having a beer, having a conversation about race or whatever they were talking about. And I was watching the pre-coverage of this beer summit, and it was just beyond ridiculous, Bill. CNN had, or no, it was Fox News. They had a map, a satellite image of the White House that they got from Google Maps, and they pinpointed on this satellite photo where on the White House yard this meeting was going to be taking place. Why is this getting so much coverage, Bill?
This story is getting coverage because the police officer involved in the incident, first of all, refused to grovel and apologize and roll over on his back and, you know, expose his belly for Henry Gates, and refused to act like a typical white liberal. He refused to act like someone who was ashamed of himself, white and ashamed of himself. And so the fact that the police officer stood his ground escalated this to a crisis, political crisis, because
God knows if someone stands their ground, maybe someone else will too, and we can't have that. That's why we're so demonized.
Absolutely not. So he failed to act like a contrite, spineless white man. So the media then went on a witch hunt for evil deeds by this evil white cop. And the first sort of hint was that this was going to be racial profiling and so forth. Well, it turns out that this cop Crowley had actually given seminars on how not to racial profile. That is, he was one of the cops who would train other cops on how not to racial profile when on duty. And also that he had given mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, or had attempted to revive a black basketball player who subsequently died. But so he failed the racist cop test right from the get-go. There was no way that he was going to be cast as this demon white cop who's beating up white people or blacks in alleys and a secret member of some, covert white organization or anything like that. That failed. So this escalated to a political crisis because he could not be pigeonholed. He could not be shoved into a corner and made into a villain. And subsequently, the only solution was for Barack Obama to get involved. Well, what was his first response? To say that the cops acted stupidly, that it was the cops' fault. Well, that didn't make it go away, because he would believe that simply by pointing his finger and making, an accusation was going to be sufficient for the cops to all go scurrying around and cowering and bemoaning the president, being angry with him. And they all stood up for themselves. And so, Barack Obama was put in the position of having to do something that was going to keep the controversy from escalating into one that was truly racial. So his solution was, well, I'll have them all over for a beer. And, of course, Louis Henry Gates gets to the summit, and, you notice there were no close-ups, there were no microphones on by the table.
I wonder what they really did talk about.
Who knows? But the point is, that the press wasn't able to get closer. They weren't even able to get within earshot of the table. And that's proof that this was all simply a staged event to make it appear that racial reconciliation had been achieved through the efforts of who? Barack Obama. You see, when he failed to intimidate the cops by calling them stupid, then he has to turn around and show himself to be the great reconciliator, the person who brings everyone together. And they, we all have a beer together.
Well, Bill, we're going to talk about beer more beer right after the break. So we're going to talk about the beer that they drank even, and then more right after this.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back. And since you just heard from Art Frith there, absolutely, we want to take some calls here. We're having a little open mic time talking about some of the news in the news, some of the stories in the news this week, and giving you our take on them. Give us a call, 1-866-986-NEWS. That's 1-866-986-NEWS. Phones will be open for the next few minutes. If you want to talk about the beer summit at the White House, that's what we're talking about right now. But we got a lot of other stuff to talk about. And if you want to talk about something we haven't brought to your attention yet this evening, by all means, our show is your show. Bill, you wanted to make a little re-announcement or announce something again.
Right. I wanted to invite our listeners to sign in on Facebook and to go and look at the Political Cesspool Facebook page. It'll probably be the only night that we will remain on Facebook once they find out there is such a site. I imagine they'll pull it down. But go ahead and get on, go to the Facebook search and put in Political Cesspool. And it will take you to a page where you can make a selection. I think the political cesspool is at the top of the page. And go ahead and sign on and go to our page and leave us a comment. Let's see how this thing works, because I am monitoring our Facebook page right now, so I can read your comments as they come up.
Wow. So this is, I mean, you're talking real interactive radio here. We really are in the 21st century now. So, yeah, we're going to try it out. Bill and I are both such old fogies. I'm the oldest 29-year-old you'll ever meet. I've never had a MySpace, never had a Facebook account. But go to Facebook. Yeah, we're really excited about this. We really have interactive fans. We have great supporters from around the world who tune into this show. We have such a great and growing fan base, and they're supportive in many ways. And as I was telling Bill during the commercial break, I don't know if I went into the details about this earlier, but I had received an email today from a friend who had said that they had created this Facebook page for us, and it was a way that he thought would be fun for other fans of the show to converse with one another. So, yeah, if you do Facebook, go to Facebook. Hopefully we'll be there for a long time. And for however long we're there, go there and let's talk to each other, get to know one another in a more personal way. No matter what happens with the Facebook entity, though, you can always find us at thepoliticalcesspool.org, our internet headquarters. Sign up for our email list and send us a donation if you don't mind. We are listener-supported, and we would very much appreciate and value your financial contribution. Bill, we do have some calls coming in. We want to get to those. Again, the number is 1-866-986-NEWS. Before we go to the phones, quickly, Bill, a final thought on this beer summit with Obama, Biden, the Cambridge police officer, who, make no mistake, was not a conservative. He is not a conservative. He is a self-avowed liberal. But even he, it's a shame where the white liberals have more spine than the white conservatives when it comes to racial matters. Or matters of a racial animus, and then, of course, the so-called Professor Henry Louis Gates. They were all there. Big deal was made out of the beer they chose to drink. Apparently, Gates wanted to keep up his street cred by drinking a Jamaican-made beer. I did hear when push came to shove, he chose a different selection. But he wanted his red stripe, didn't he, Bill?
He did. He wanted to keep his ethnic tastes in line with the function. And so he was going to order a red stripe. And, of course, his choice would naturally get out to the press. I mean, how would anybody know unless he dropped a hint that he was going to get a red stripe beer? Who would find that out? But I think the most important thing is, of course, this was all just for show. It was a big show to put on in order to really, I think, protect Barack Obama's messiah status.
Well, then, Bill, you're getting into a whole other can of worms that I wanted to talk about. Again, we're about to go to the phones, 1-866-986-NEWS. Give us a call, 1-866-986-NEWS. Let us know your thoughts on the matter, or any matter for that matter. Now, this is all Obama can do, Bill. He is nothing but a stage production. He's nothing but an actor. He's nothing but good speeches read from an expensive teleprompter. He is nothing but pomp and circumstance. He's nothing but voodoo. This guy really doesn't have any solutions, but he puts on a good show. He's charismatic. He can give a good speech regardless of the content. He speaks well, and that's really all he is. He's nothing but a showman. And at the end of the day, glitz and glamour doesn't solve problems, as his poll ratings are beginning to reflect. And at the end of the day, this is all he is. That's all he's got is the glitter.
People are waking up to the fact that he is a stage prop, and the real power in the White House is with Rahm Emanuel and some of the other antichrists. So these are the people who are pulling his jawstring, and of course, you know, if he is left to his own devices, he'll unravel before the very eyes of the American public. But this wasn't even a very clever ploy. It was so obvious, and
wasn't it just sickeningly obvious? That's what I'm getting at.
It was sickening. It was just absolutely so maudlin and so silly that I don't even know if it would pass, you know, on some dumb reality show. You know, it ought to be a reality show, Beer with the President. You know, who is he going to have beer with next week?
Well, if he was intent on this being...
Who wins the seat next to the president to drink beer?
If he was intent on this being a true meeting of something that would put, you know, bring forth solutions, he wouldn't have put it on national television.
Right.
I mean, are you really going to talk...
It's all to keep a lid on race consciousness among whites. This is something that was threatening to really, become a major point of stress on the racial fault line, and between liberals, black liberals or white liberals and blacks. So he had to do something. He had to throw some kind of Band-Aid over this thing, and his solution was, well, I'll have him to the White House. Well, you know, what did they say? They agree to disagree. He didn't fix anything. He simply got his own position out of hot water because he made the idiotic statement about the cops acting stupidly. This is what it was all about. It was all about repairing Barack Obama's standing among white liberals.
Well, let's go to the phones and see what we can figure out. 1-866-986-NEWS. That's the number. Mike in Ohio, are you there?
Hey, James.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, this is Mike again from Ohio. Long time no see.
How's it going? Good to hear from you again.
It's going pretty good. Well, I was wondering, did you hear about Michael Steele and his stupid antic when he said he was going to lure more people to the party with fried chicken and...
Yeah, you know, we talked about that. We blogged about it, and then, of course, used the blog entry on our website to do a little talk on it on the program. Yeah, Bill, can you believe that? I mean, this was something he was asked in an interview. I think it was with a newspaper out of Indiana or some newspaper up in the Midwest, and they said, you know, Michael, what are you going to do, Mr. GOP chairman, to get more minorities, or they use the term African Americans, into the party? And he said, well, we're going to, you know, give them all a box of chicken. We're going to get them into the party with fried chicken. All right, you know, first of all, that's just stupid. But number two, could you imagine if they had asked, Jim Nicholson or one of the previous Republican chairmen the same question, and he answered with the same answer? I mean, the double standard, Bill, pretty readily apparent.
Very readily apparent, and especially when we remember that one of the candidates for chairman of the Republican Party was literally run out of the running for that position because he included a clip of Barack the Magic Negro in some of his material that he sent out, a song which had been playing on Rush Limbaugh for, you know, more than a year. So this is clear the double standard that the Republican Party has embraced, and, you know, they become, as you say, just the other wing of the vulture, and, you know, we can't even take them seriously when they have antics like this going on.
What else is on your mind, Mike? Yeah, we certainly saw that, and, I mean, there's really, the quote is in itself the story. I mean, there's really not more you can say except shake your head and wonder how the Republicans could be so stupid, or
Well, the reason why I called was there was something else I wonder if you saw or not. About
hang on. Mike, hold that thought, my friend.
But he was hosting some radio talk show somewhere.
Mike, I hate to interrupt, Mike. Just sit tight. We want to carry you over through the break. Don't go anywhere. Stay on the line.
No problem.
Yeah, don't go anywhere. We're going to get back to you right after the break. I hear there's a commercial coming up. So if you want to be on the line, too, in the cesspool tonight, 1-866-986-NEWS. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're about to go back to the phones. Again, that number to be on with us, 1-866-986-NEWS. Bill, before we go back to Mike, he's making some points, asking some questions. I want you to quickly, without giving away the store, give folks a little teaser about next week's show.
Well, all I'll say about this is that next week's show is, we're not being braggadocious here, is certainly going to be one of the most important shows and one of the most talked about shows once it's over that we've ever had. And what I'll say is we're going to have on two guests. We don't ever talk about our guests until shortly before we go on. But both guests are absolute heavyweights, power hitters. And the first guest, I would say, is an internationally known person who, I don't know how to put it except to say he shook up the politics of the world. And so we'll be looking forward to that interview come next Saturday. But for all of you listeners, whatever you're doing, cancel your vacations, cancel any travel plans, cancel any parties. Sit down and listen to the show next week. You will not be disappointed. And, you know, if things change, then we'll be sure to let you know. But as far as we're concerned right now, next week's show is a don't-miss event.
And, I couldn't say it better myself. Of course, the disclaimer, things are always subject to change, and we have schedules, our guests have schedules. If it does get changed, we will certainly rebook these two guests, but Bill is not exaggerating. Next week's show is going to be absolutely dynamite. And as of right now, the two guests that we are referring to are confirmed and booked. And these are going to be names you will know, well, without having to read a bio, that's for sure. Back to the phones. Mike in Ohio. Mike, continue on, my friend.
You know, for a second, when you said next week you'll have a guest, a specific guest on your show, I almost thought for a second it was going to be Eddie the Bombardier.
Well, Eddie is a co-host, so he could hardly be categorized as a guest.
Right,
and he was on last week, so, you know. But, no, see, that's what I'm saying, Bill. Eddie's got the fans. Eddie's the fan favorite.
Eddie is absolutely.
Last thing I'm going to mention is that, speaking of Michael Steele again, I don't know if you saw this, but he was on some radio show a while ago, and he was trying to talk about how the justice system wasn't working, and he wanted justice to just apply to the law and without empathy, because it might interfere with people's treatment or whatever. And the thing he was trying to use a euphemism or be politically correct in what he said, and it just came out horribly. He said, "I'll show you empathy. Empathize right on your behind."
Well, I mean, you know, this guy has some sort of a snafu every time he speaks, because obviously he wasn't the most qualified candidate. He is an affirmative action appointment for, you know, you would expect these sort of things. Well, I guess you would expect them in the Republican Party now. Certainly we do. But you would expect these things in other organizations that cater to the left. But here are the Republicans finding, you know, I guess, you know, honestly, the only black member that they have. Or that would agree to do this. I'm sure he voted for Obama just like Powell and J.C. Watts did. But nevertheless, here he is. And, I mean, he's a fraud and a fool, and he's making them look very foolish. And, not only has he not been responsible for the addition of a single minority member to the Republican Party. There's no telling how many Republicans he has driven away from his buffoonery, and because, I mean, you know, my God. How pathetic can you get? How obvious in your attempts at pandering can you get in what the Republicans doing with Michael Steele? We've talked about him a lot over the course of this year, and I don't guess there's anything new to say is other than he's still there and he's still doing damage to the Republican Party, which, as far as I'm concerned, you know, no crocodile tears here, Bill.
No. Hey, you know, James, I'm looking here on I'm at the Facebook site, and we've picked up some new fans, by the way, while we've been on the air.
See, this is interactive radio. Mike, you got to go up to the Facebook, our newly minted Facebook page that we just found out about. Again, our hats off to the fan out there who created this for us. I got to get in touch with him and tell him thank you. Mike, we want to see you on Facebook. We got to see ourselves on Facebook, Bill.
Absolutely. It's funny. Sorry to interrupt, but it's funny. I'm actually on the site right now. I think right now it has 48 members, I mean 48 fans listed on there. It's probably going to balloon in a couple days.
Well, that's pretty good because right before Bill announced it, we had, I think 22, 23, something like that. So apparently people are listening and going, and that's a fact. We had about 22, 23 members right before the show started. So obviously people are out there and people are listening, and Facebook's popular. It's in vogue. It's what all the cool kids do, and so we want to be cool too. Right, Bill? Peer pressure and all.
Exactly. Well, here I want to tell you about a site that if you Google or if you do a Facebook search for our site, this site is on the same page, and it's called 5 Million Americans Against Racism and Extremism, and their logo says silence is acceptable, and then the red circle with the slash through it over hate and speak loudly. So, you know, I think our listeners should visit this site because we're prominently mentioned on it. And, of course, I'm going through here. You know, it's 5 million Americans against racism and extremism, but they only have 709 members. You know, I know kids in high school have more members than that. But, of course, if you look at the members of this website or the people on it, of course, they're all white. I mean, you know, all of the anti-racists in here are all white. And most of them are from Milwaukee or Minnesota, you know, where there are no blacks, of course, so they can afford their anti-racist righteousness and self-righteousness. You know, almost everybody on this is from Minneapolis or somewhere up in Wisconsin, in Lily White, Minnesota, Wisconsin, South Dakota, places like that. So you see, they're perfectly capable of being, you know, outspokenly anti-racist because they're not around any non-whites. They can be as sanctimonious and pious as they want to be and get away with it. But, yeah, you ought to see this. It's mostly white people, of course, and mixed-race couples. They're always desperate for attention. So I recommend that people look at this silly site, too, and leave some comments for them.
Well, there you go. And, of course, when you're anti-racist, what you truly are is anti-white, or you're at least against whites having the same privileges afforded to them in terms of celebration of the cultural heritage and heroes and so on and so forth. It really has nothing to do with racism. We really don't even know to this day what the word racist or racism is, and I don't think even they do. But certainly if you are a European American and you want equal rights and you want equal rights for all and special privileges or none, that would, by whatever definition is currently out there, qualify you as a racist. And so,
you know, we ought to read out the names of these bold and anti-racists over the air to let people give them a little advertising here. You know, I think we should just start reading these names off one by one so people can leave their comments on Facebook to them. You know, since they're so high and mighty, you know, maybe they need a little more diversity on their page, a little more inclusion, which would mean some cesspool listeners.
There you go. I mean, that's what we're all about, right, Bill? Well, anyway, we're having too much fun tonight on Facebook and on the radio and elsewhere. I mean, this is truly what it's all about. And today's modern technology at its finest. So, Mike, hey, thanks for calling in from Ohio. We'll see you on the Internet, I guess.
Yep, will do.
Thank you, my friend, as always. Well, again, folks, we are talking about our newly minted Facebook page, so I'm going to get on there myself. I've never done it. We're going to do it. little power surge there in the studio. Are you still with me, Bill?
I'm still here.
Okay, the power is flickering
like
here
we,
at 1380.
We cranked up the electric chair again.
I was saying yes, that's right. A lot of tornadoes have gone through the area here lately, so here we are, a little thunder.
We don't know what to expect, really.
You never know what to expect out here, but the power is flickering, so hopefully we'll make it another hour and a half, God willing. But, no, anyway, thanks again to the people who created the Facebook page. Don't want to sound like a broken record and beating this to death, but if you are on Facebook, go check out the Political Cesspool. But before you do anything, go to our real website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We got a little more to talk about this hour before we go to Tom Baugh, our featured guest for the evening during the third hour. When Bill and I return for the final segment of the – no, we got two more segments left. Anyway, over the course of the next quarter hour, we're going to be talking about Glenn Beck, the kook, fraud, and double talker. We're also going to be talking about a lady. We're talking about wanting people to stand up and stand up for Christian America, stand up for America First like we do on this show. Well, there's not many people that stand up. One of them is a 72-year-old woman in a small town near Fort Worth, Texas. We're going to be telling you her story when the cesspool rolls on tonight on the Liberty News Radio Network. And be sure to support LRN, folks. They do a great job, and without them, we wouldn't have a home. And we are thankful to LNR. Check them out at libertynewsradio.com. More to come when we come back.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, doing exactly what I said I wouldn't do, beating a dead horse even further into the ground. If our promo people are listening tonight, you know, we got a great team here in Memphis, me and Eddie and Winston and be too proud of ourselves, of course, but other than me, obviously Winston, Eddie, and Bill here in Memphis, and then the crew at WLRM, and then we've got people like Art Frith out there who do a great job, and Mark in St. Louis. We got a lot of people out there who help us with the website. So if our promo people are out there, Clyde, you know who you are, let's put a note up on the website about that Facebook page. Let's try to ride this wave as far as we can before it comes crashing down. So let's put a blog up. Let's put a note up. See if we can get some folks over there. Let's see who is tuning into the show. Bill, now, with that being said, on a trivial side of things, let's go to perhaps, well, no doubt about it, what is the most serious thing we're going to be discussing tonight, and I don't want to forget it. Alan Stang. You weren't on the show last week, Bill, when we discussed it, but obviously Alan Stang passed some week and a half ago. You had the opportunity. Alan Stang was on this show once or twice. He was a colleague of ours and very supportive of our work. Alan Stang was a guest on this show once or twice, and it seems as though every time he was on, I was out and you were hosting him solo. You had the opportunity to interview Alan Stang. His service to the cause and your thoughts of the man.
Certainly, Alan Stang was a truly courageous and noble warrior for our cause and for the cause of truth and righteousness. You know, he spent his life. Now, this was a man, keep in mind, who in his early career was a writer for Mike Wallace. And who in his early career was rising pretty quickly up the ladder at CBS and at other big name, you know, corporate media, corporations. And so, you know, he really sacrificed his career and what could have been a comfortable, successful career in entertainment and in the network media to pursue the truth. And his first major book, of course, was the classic work on the civil rights movement called It's Very Simple, where Alan Stang very forcefully and very convincingly points out the communist connections between the civil rights movement and mainstream mainline communism even reaching into Soviet Russia. And he points out that everything the civil rights movement did and all of the activities of the civil rights movement were based on communist ideology and based on communist practices. And so this book was really important. He went on to become a member of the John Birch Society and a speaker for the John Birch Society. Unfortunately, they later distanced themselves from Alan Stang because he continued to tell the truth. But he was courageous throughout his life. He was a nemesis to Martin Luther King. He followed Martin Luther King around and actually, in some cases, had Martin Luther King ruined some of Martin Luther King's plans, where some of the towns where Martin Luther King intended to hold protests or demonstrations eventually shut him out because Alan Stang went to these towns with information, exposed King, and as a result, some of his demonstrations and marches fell apart. So he was a very courageous man and never backed down from his positions, held his ground until his dying day at age 80. Very sorry to lose a man of his intellect and power. His last blog is on his website. I regret that I don't have that in front of me, but you can certainly Google Alan Stang and get that information. But his last blog entry is extremely powerful and extremely candid. He pulls no punches. He never did pull any punches. And so he's certainly going to be missed. You know, I had contacted him about being on our show not too long ago and about asking permission to reprint some of his articles. And he was always very gracious. Sure, you know, the main thing is get the word out. You know, a man who, you know, really changed his whole life just to tell the truth. He was born Jewish. He converted to Christianity. He was a true Christian believer. And so, you know, even that was a big decision in his life, or it was a big change in his life, at least. So, you know, I think we salute Alan Stang and thank God for the time he was with us on Earth and for the work he did.
Absolutely, Bill. Very nice eulogy, I guess you would say, and very heartfelt, and certainly I echo your sentiments wholeheartedly. And you take people like Alan Stang, true heroes, true warriors, people who weren't afraid to stand with the folks who are doing good work, and always the folks who are doing good work are going to be the people who are the most radioactive, or at least the people who are portrayed to be the most radioactive by the media. I think you all know who we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen. But compare and contrast a man like Alan Stang, a man with principles, a man like Sam Francis, who also had principles, a man who lost his job at the Washington Post for standing up for his convictions, as Alan Stang lost his job and was not able to further his career in such a mainstream way because he wouldn't compromise his beliefs. And then compare and contrast men like Alan Stang and Sam Francis to these wannabe Jimmy Swaggarts like Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck makes me sick. This was a guy, we had some YouTube footage of him on our website a few months back, you know, crying, acting like he was so upset, you know, he was crying on national television, and what a kook and a fraud. He was on Fox News the other day, Bill, and he said that Obama has, quote, a deep-seated hatred of white people, end quote, which I would tend to agree with. I was actually surprised that he said it at all, because it's the truth, and Glenn Beck doesn't normally tell the truth without watering it down to the point where it's almost unrecognizable. But there it was, in the same, we've got this footage up on our website right now if you don't believe me. You want to talk about a classic retraction. A few seconds, literally a few seconds later on the same show, when Brian Kilmeade dutifully pointed out that Obama surrounds himself with Jewish advisors, Beck replied then, quote, well, I'm not saying he doesn't like white people. One sentence, Obama hates white people. The next sentence, I'm not saying he doesn't like white people. This is what we're talking about. These are the people who are the modern face of conservatism, if you rely on the media to give you your version of conservatism. And then you got people like Bill O'Reilly. This is what I really want to talk about, Bill. Bill O'Reilly last week had the president of the Southern Poverty Law Center on, arguably the most vitriolic anti-American, anti-Christian organization in operation today, second to the ADL, I guess you would say. Bill O'Reilly had him on, and he was agreeing with him basically, essentially, that you're treating him with absolute respect. You know, when they have real conservatives on TV, the amount of disdain that these hosts throw at him. Just watch my interviews on CNN. he had this going on from the SPLC bill, and he was agreeing with him that the SPLC was right in trying to remove Lou Dobbs from the air, that Lou Dobbs was reckless, that Lou Dobbs was only pointing out Obama's birth certificate controversy as a ploy to get ratings, but that he wanted to bet, you know, this SPLC leader, you know, any amount of money that they weren't going to be able to remove him from the air, so on and so on and so forth. So you got Glenn Beck, a man who can't, you know, adhere to his alleged convictions for more than 5 seconds. You got people like Bill O'Reilly who has on a guy like Cohen from the SPLC and you know, basically just, you know, plays patty cakes with him and mocks a guy like Lou Dobbs who has a halfway decent show. This is, these are the people who get the promotions, whereas the people like Alan Stang labor in the trenches with us.
Exactly. And, well, of course, Bill O'Reilly is the biggest fraud on the air. You know, he's going to have on somebody, who was it, Mark Potok or one of the other, you know, slimy racketeers from the Southern Poverty and Law Center. You know, the interesting thing to me is that Lou Dobbs has come out and he has begun at least to roll over part of the slimy rock to expose the Southern Poverty and Law Center. And what happens, Bill O'Reilly has the head of the SPLC on his show. They're going to let network rivalries decide right and wrong, so that because he's on Lou Dobbs, who's on CNN, here Lou Dobbs on CNN is speaking out against the Southern Poverty Law Center, one of the most reckless, one of the most libelous organizations on in America, who they attack anybody who doesn't agree with their agenda, and you know collects a profile on people who are virtually harmless, cost people their jobs, cost people their standing in the community, just so they can, you know, keep this racket going that they've got. And, you know, Lou Dobbs has the guts to roll over the rock and show them what kind of slimy slugs they are. And so Bill Riley's going to have him on the show just so what? He can poke Lou Dobbs in the eye? Is that what that's about? Is he is legitimating the SPLC, one of the most leftist organizations in America? It's absurd. You know, I'm sure that the lynch mob and the Inquisition is going to gather around Lou Dobbs. You're going to see the media put real pressure on him and really start to come after him in a big way.
Well, Bill, we'll have to continue to watch that as it develops. I don't know where this hour went, but we're out of time. We'll be back in the third hour right after the national news burst from LNR with our featured guest, Tom Ball. Sit tight, everybody. The Political Cesspool concludes in the third hour right after this.
Believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the rising sun.